Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Monday. A lot going to happen in this 9 o'clock hour as we swing to the 9 o'clock hour. In a little over 20 minutes from now, Mike Conti will join us. We'll talk about Atlanta United and the tremendous win that they had coming from behind to blow out the Montreal Impact and continue this incredible streak that Atlanta United has been on. This unbeaten streak that they have had, which is now, what, up seven games, is that correct? I believe so, 6-0-1 in their last seven games. They haven't lost in 2 months. I believe they've outscored their opponents in that time, something on the order of 21-5, I think is the total, in those seven games. I mean, they have been an unstoppable force so far this season.
And fast. Yeah. Fast. That's the thing that jumps out at me as Atlanta United. That's why I was kind of it was kind of weird to see Montreal have the success that they had.
Mm-hmm.
In the first half, if that or the first quarter, how do you call it? The first half
mm-hmm.
of the match. So it was kind of weird to see them have that kind of success and be able to, slow them down a little bit, keep them from scoring. So yeah, it was a good game, good match.
Well, the Atlanta United is you're right. Barco adds to the speed of this team, and we know that the Atlanta Falcons have wanted speed and more speed ever since Dan Quinn showed up, and that they were. You know, the fastest team in the NFL may still be the fastest team in the NFL. And then you're starting to see that kind of bleed over, too, into the Atlanta Braves. Yesterday, the Braves put Ender Inciarte, batted him ninth behind the pitcher, okay, behind Brandon McCarthy, as a double leadoff kind of thing where Ender batted ninth, and then you had Ozzy Albies first and Ronald Acuna second. Ender has as many steals, most steals in April of any Brave since Kenny Lofton. With 13 steals, you see Ozzy Albies stealing home. They're taking extra bases. Ronald Acuna will steal 40 bases for you. One of the things the Braves suddenly have in abundance is speed.
Yeah, John, and they're aggressive base running. Aggressive base running. Fundamental baseball that they're playing right now, and that's what they're benefiting from. You know, they're getting on base. They're not stranding guys on base anymore. And to have these young guys on the team, it almost feels like when they're playing now that – when somebody out there makes a play that somebody else wants to kind of keep it going, they're kind of feeding off of one another. That's mm-hmm. what it feels like to me.
Right, exactly. And you see that with Ozzy Albies and Ronald Acuna, the two youngest players in Major League Baseball. And, of course, they're fellow countrymen. And then Albies is just lights out good. I mean, Albies continues this. He's going to be an all-star at second base, no question.
I think he's already in the talks, John. You're talking about being tied for the NL lead with 9 home runs. I mean, you're in great company. If you're tied like that, I think he's tied with Bryce Harper, if I'm not mistaken. I think mm-hmm. it's Bryce Harper that he's tied with. So you're in good company. So you're going to have to be talked about when they talk about the All-Star game. I know it's still a little bit early, but he's got off to a good enough start that he's in the minds of all the people that vote for the All-Star game.
Right, and of course he'll be up for Player of the Month. Now, Cespedes might win it because he's had a phenomenal month for the New York Mets. But I'll tell you something. Ozzy Albies is going to be up for Player of the Month in the National League. And rightfully so. And then Acuna is everything. Ronald Acuna is everything I think that we had hoped and seen. This kid has, I mean, what, 4 games? And he's done this already? Hitting .421, driven in runs, stealing bases.
I think it helps him,
man,
that him and Ozzy Albies are so close. I think enough is not being said about that relationship and having somebody there that, you know, they can tell you the ins and outs of how it is to be at this level and what to expect from certain things. And just having that sounding board, I think he's benefited tremendously from that.
Well, I think there's no doubt of that. And then moving him up in the lineup, you know, because you can bat him anywhere from 1-6, but I really like them moving him up in the lineup ahead of Freddie Freeman, where he's going to see more pitches. The top of the Braves order, Nick Markakis quietly is putting together, and we don't talk enough about the numbers Nick has put up, 18 RBIs so far this season. The Braves have, I believe, 5 or even 6 hitters already with over 30 hits. They're the leading hitting team, number one hitting team in all of Major League Baseball. I was hoping that they were going to be competitive this year. I wanted them to be relevant into September. That April exceeded my expectations, but we'll get a little bit into that tomorrow because
I think it exceeded everybody's expectations, though, John, to be totally honest. Nobody expected this from this team.
No.
So that's why it's easy to root for them and you know, approach this season with cautious optimism because they've gotten off to such a great start.
And again, we'll talk Braves tomorrow with Grant McCauley. Today we're going to focus a little bit in about 20 minutes with our discussion with Mike Connie about Atlanta United and the incredible start they've had, too. So it could be a really fun summer around here in Atlanta. I know they're all waiting for football, but it could be a really fun summer. As to football, we are asking you this morning in our Vision Computer poll on our website at 929 The Game, what's your take on the Falcons 2018 draft class? And is it touchdown?
Oh, boy, John. No, right now 55% of people say it's a first down, John. First down. It's a solid group. 21% punt. Show me on the field.
Mm-hmm.
17% say
bumble.
No, touchdown. It's a great class.
Oh, 17% say touchdown. And then,
only 7% say fumble, that it could be better.
Yeah, well, you know, so and we're taking your votes here. And, of course, we're also talking to you if you want to reply when you vote on our Twitter. You can reply and we'll answer you back. I mean, I voted for first down, said it was a solid group. Much as I wanted to say touchdown, great class, I can't know that for a while. I think that Ridley's a great pick. And I have a sense that, you know, Ito Smith is probably going to have a chance to make a name for himself.
He's going to have some opportunities. Teron Ward's not here. So he's definitely going to have some opportunities to come out there and contribute. Probably a lot. He's going to have a chance to contribute a lot. I think if he can come in and, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield and secure it, make sure he catches the ball and run well, that there are going to be some three-back sets that you could potentially see with all three of those cats on the field.
You know, one of the other questions that we're asking on our social media, of the six football players from Georgia that were selected in the draft, who's going to have the best rookie season? Now, Roquan Smith, Isaiah Wynn, Sonny Michel, Nick Chubb, Lorenzo Carter, Javon Wims, of the six that were drafted, certainly it's going to be easy to say that Roquan Smith would be the guy that would have the best, though Sonny Michel could actually do fairly well. He's on a pretty good team. He's got a pretty good quarterback in front of him. And so Sonny Michel's going to have an opportunity not only to run the ball but to catch the ball out of the backfield from a guy that knows how to sling it around a little bit.
Yeah, no question about that. The guy that I kind of feel sorry for is Nick Chubb. He's going to go to a team. He's on a team. He's going to have to work. He's going to have to work hard, man. They're going to have to grow up fast. You know, when you look at that team, you look at the Cleveland Browns, they're a fairly young squad, very, very young squad. And they're going to be looking to some of these young guys to step up and mature real quickly. And he's probably going to be one of them, no question about that.
Those are some of the questions we're asking on our social media. I took an opportunity here to take a peek around to next year. One of the sites, I have nothing to do with Waldorf football. They don't have anything to do with us. It's just a site that I like and have liked for long, long time. The folks at Waldorf football do a really good job. I used to have them on my Fox show, and I think that they are as thorough as just about anybody out there, so I've always leaned on them a lot. They have their way too early mock draft. Now, the problem with the mock draft is, for 2019, is you're projecting where teams are going to be in the mock draft. For example, at the Indianapolis Colts making the first pick. But set that aside, I want to talk more about the players that are available here because it goes to a point I was making earlier, just so that you know some of the names that are going to be available next year. Shea Patterson, quarterback Michigan, is who they have going number one. Now, does Shea Patterson even play this season? That's the big question.
Yeah, you know what? I read a story that he got cleared to play. It was in my ticker. That he had been cleared to play.
All right, finally good. All right, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, there's an update. So Shea Patterson's cleared to play. They have Ed Oliver going number two, the defensive tackle out of Houston.
He might be number one, though, because he's definitely up for he's going to probably – they say he's a legit contender for the Heisman this year.
I mean, he is. If you haven't seen Ed Oliver, didn't he come out of Last Chance U? Was Ed Oliver an East Mississippi guy? Or he was just a
no.
He was just a true freshman.
He was a true freshman.
Yeah, he was right. He had a really good freshman year. Really strong freshman year.
Right.
Yeah.
He was supposed to go to Texas, but Houston out recruited him because Tom Herman. Do you think Tom Herman wishes he would have gone to Texas now?
Well, remember one of his bigger games was that game where they sacked Lamar Jackson like 10 times.
Yeah, they
times.
Were on like a pair of tight underwear. They were all over him like a pair of tight drawers. I remember that because they were talking about how it was one play. I guess it was a handoff, and he almost beat. He got there with the handoff was there. He's a fat. He could potentially be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, that was his breakout game for the national audience. A lot of the college football junkies knew him, but that was the game where the nation really got to see how just dominant he could be.
Well, if you think the defensive line was a good in this draft, wait till next year, because Ed Oliver projected as the number two pick. Dexter Lawrence, defensive tackle Clemson, projected as number three. Dexter Lawrence is a monster. He's like 6'6", 350. He's gigantic human being, and he can move.
And another thing, the Falcons might be looking at next year's draft to try to get a D-tackle in that draft.
Nick Bosa, the defensive end from Ohio State, who many say, I tend to agree with the people who say that he's better than his brother Joey, if only because in college he's been better than Joey. He was that good at Ohio State. Let's see what he does this year. I'm telling you, I think Nick Bosa was every bit as good or better than his brother at last season at Ohio State. And then this will show you, I'm going to give you quickly the top 10. This will show you why and what Walter Football says, Hugh, about this year's quarterback class and everybody jockeying for quarterbacks in this class. If you needed a quarterback, you had to get one now. I mentioned to you that Shea Patterson is mocked as the number one quarterback and the number one player in the draft. The number two quarterback and mocked at number five in this draft coming up next year is Clayton Thorson, quarterback, Northwestern. Not exactly a household name. I mean, I've seen Clayton Thorson play. He can run and throw. But as for quarterbacks, Clayton Thorson mocked as the number two quarterback. Okay.
Well, you know, it is real early, John, and nobody has played a game yet. So they're kind of going off of, you know, last year's performances.
Remember, it was a week. We knew about this. We heard about it being a weak class. That was the thing that people kept saying before this draft, the experts. If you need one, get your guy, because it's a weak class next year. Plus, I bet you a lot of people at this time of last year didn't know who Josh Allen was either. So,
Well, that's fair enough. Then the rest of the top 10 includes another defensive tackle. That's Rashawn Gary out of Michigan, who was the number one high school player in the nation. And Rashawn Gary is mocked as number 7. Mocked at number 9 and mocked at number 10 are the other two guys from Clemson. Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle, and Colin Farrell, the defensive end. Clemson's defensive line this year, because I wanted to check this, because we were talking about Clemson's defensive line. I was talking about Lawrence and Wilkins and Farrell, saying, okay, they would have been first-round picks. They're all mocked in the top – forget first round. Those three guys are mocked in the top 10 all together, and they're on one college football line. I mean, that is insane.
Yeah, the mock draft that I'm looking at, they have three Clemson players going, like, back-to-back-to-back. Dexter Lawrence, Clelin Farrell, and the offensive tackle, Mitch Hyatt. So they got a pretty talented offensive-defensive line on there at Clemson.
Man of mercy. I mean, this is what it goes to show you. Again, and we're talking, and this is way too early about next year, and you're right. I mean, players will rise and fall as they play their seasons out this year. Just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, and I start looking through, the next quarterback I think on the list is Drew Locke. He's from Missouri, and, of course, he's late first round. Yeah, I was looking for the other Clemson. They've got Austin Bryan, the other defensive end from Clemson, mocked at 24. So Austin Bryant is the 24th pick of the first round. That'd be four Clemson pick defensive linemen. Bryant, Farrell, Wilkins, Lawrence, all going in the first
round. That's pretty impressive. Unbelievable. That's pretty impressive. And in this mock draft that I'm looking at, John, they have the Falcons drafting the D lineman as early, like next year as well. So maybe they're thinking that next year's the class where they're going to boast up their defense a little bit more. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
All depends on how it plays out this year, though. It's two.
Right. And so only one Georgia player in the one I'm looking at. Do you have any Georgia players in the one you're looking at?
As of right now, John Fricky, that would be a new.
Yeah, DeAndre Baker is the only one I see in mine, too. Just looking through these mock drafts from last year. So this is next year's draft. And just I was peeking around the corner. It is going to be a point, though, that I wanted to make. And the only reason I looked was because I mentioned to you, Hugh, about Clemson's defensive line and who's going to score on these guys. That defensive line could be on paper. And again, it's only on paper. The greatest defensive line we've seen in college football. I mean, you're right up there with the best that Alabama and LSU have ever produced when you're talking about three top 10 picks and number 24. Unbelievable.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah, but it's on paper. And they would have all been number one picks, too. I mean, they are really good down there. Boy, Dabo's got something in the water. And if you're a Clemson Tiger fan, you're probably pretty excited about your team this season. As long as you're not having missteps in Syracuse, you'll be fine. Talking about the NFL draft and about what's going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons now, and you mentioned the OTAs coming up. Because some people are saying, all right, nothing's going to happen now. You have OTAs coming up here in May. You also have the May meetings for the NFL coming up in 3 weeks, And those May meetings are going to be here, and we're going to get finally some resolution, I think, and some clarity on the new rules that are going to take place in terms of the new tackle rule and some of the other rules that they're changing. And then we have mandatory camp in June, and then full camps in July. So
it won't be long now.
It won't be long.
I mean, after the draft, that's when it's really downhill, because you got guys reporting this weekend. We get a chance to look at some of the draft picks. They get to run around out there in shorts and whatnot and just see how they acclimate to the first few practices that they have to be in, that fast and furious, the speed drill. So, yeah. It's going to be exciting.
And the upgrade to the Falcons special teams, because they were so bad last year, and people don't realize how bad they were. The Falcons had the worst field position of any team in the NFL. They were dead last. As that meant, they had the farthest field to always have to go. Their return game and their coverage games were just not very good. We saw how many times teams were returning balls out to midfield on them on kickoffs, or at least near midfield. So they go out and get a couple of cover guys in free agency, and the gunners, Russell Gage and Justin Bethel, are going to be gunners on that coverage unit, two very good ones. And now we see what a guy like Ito Smith or even Russell Gage can do. Russell Gage out of LSU can fly. Where he's going to fit into the wide receiving core, you've got, Calvin Ridley now is number three. You still have Justin Hardy. He's number four. Gage will get some chances here, I would think, to be a fifth or sixth, in the wide receiver core.
I agree. There's going to be some opportunities.
Marvin Hall's still on the team, right?
Yeah, they're going to present themselves. And, if you get that good field position with this offense potentially being that high-powered offense that it was a few years ago, it's going to make it easier to play football. And the defense will be playing on a one-dimensional field, because teams are going to be trying to pass to keep staying in the game. So if they can do that, then they're right back in the mix.
And I'm not going to jump in front of my skis, but if we expect – I think it's fair to say that we expect that this – and we'll talk about this certainly, through the summer into camp – that this offense is going to improve its numbers from last year. And maybe they don't get quite to the numbers of the Super Bowl year, but they're going to be far better – and, between the two of those, I think they're going to be closer to the Super Bowl offense. And if we expect that the defense is going to be as good or even better with the growth and maturation of guys like Tack, for example, because aren't we all thinking that, or at least I am, that I'd be disappointed if he's healthy that Tack doesn't get 12 sacks this year, or at least, maybe more.
I just want Tack to be productive. I don't care what number of sacks he gets, as long as he's out there creating havoc. Because sometimes, I'm not a subscriber to this philosophy, but sometimes pressures are better than sacks. I think I've heard Coach Quinn say that on a few occasions. But to me, it's always better to get the quarterback on the ground with the ball in his hand.
Well, when you're putting pressure on somebody, you are likely on the attack. And that is all Atlanta United knows, is full-on attack mode. Mike Conte, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, to discuss just how good this club might be.
Just because they're grown men.
She said that's why I wipe it down.
Doesn't mean they're not as juvenile as your 13-year-old son.
Sports hot or not hot? Or hot.
I'm going to give her sports hot.
Rick and John, middays from 10 to 2. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back the other way, Almiron with Martinez. Almiron dribbling down the middle for Martinez, who's onside. Back to Almiron. His shot. They score! You can try, you just cannot beat the five stripes in this building.
Mike Conte on the call on Saturday as the win streak grows for Atlanta United. Up to seven games, and they rout Montreal with a flurry in the second half, a 4-1 win over the Montreal Impact. And Mike joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Mike.
Mike.
Good morning, guys. I've been waiting for 2 days to ask you, what did you think?
No, it was a great game, man. It was a great match. I was a little nervous because, that being the first one that I went to, and for them to get off to that slow start, I was a little nervous that I had something to do with that. But, Mike Conte, talk about that a little bit. Why was Montreal able to slow down the five stripes the way that they did in that first half?
Well, they got the goal. They caught Atlanta United napping. They got the goal. Marking errors, Chris Duvall from Duluth, Georgia, sends a beautiful cross into Tider, who slam dunks at home. And now Montreal's playing with the lead. And I think what we learned on Saturday is if someone gets a lead on Atlanta United, and that's only the second time, by the way, the Five Stripes have trailed all year. If someone gets a lead on Atlanta United, they're going to try to bunker, especially if it's in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, because it's just so hard to get a result in that building. Mm-hmm. And that's what Montreal did. They kind of built the wall. And for 60 minutes, they were doing a pretty good job. You know, it was basically a 9-1 formation for Montreal. I mean, kind of a nine-man back line, clogging up all the passing lanes. Gressel's crosses kept getting knocked down. Garza's crosses kept getting knocked down. And then finally, they were able to get the penalty kick on the handball, and the dam broke. Because once Atlanta United pulled even, Tata did a really good job with the subs, getting Majaba in there, and then Kratz to really make it an attack-oriented formation. And in a blink of an eye, it goes from a 1-0 deficit to a 4-1 win. Pretty incredible.
Mike Conney joining us as the win streak grows. It's going to be 2 months since they've lost that opening game and haven't lost since. Kevin Kratz, I don't know who you and Jason picked as man of the match, but
it was him.
You're not going to see somebody come in 15 minutes score two goals on better set pieces. Set pieces has always been kind of a problem, at least since the short history of Atlanta United. They're not a problem anymore. Those two balls that he hit off those two free kicks were unstoppable.
I think Kratz has been incredibly clutch this year. Incredibly clutch. You saw him thrust into a starting role a couple weeks ago because of injury and fitness concerns, and he excelled in that. He has been the super sub for Atlanta United all year, and every time he comes into the match, he makes an impact. Remember last week in Los Angeles against the Galaxy, you know, you're up 1-0, you've been up 1-0 for most of the match, subs are on the pitch right now, and the Romario Williams, the job that he did generating the penalty kick was all set up because Kratz fed him a beautiful ball into the attacking third, and he was able to draw the penalty, and then Almiron converted, and it's a 2-0 win. Well, here again now, here's Kratz coming onto the pitch and making a difference, and it's not just with his strikes on free kicks. It's the way that he's able to move the ball through the middle third. He's an excellent passer. He's kind of a pest defensively. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but he gets back. He does his job. He's responsible defensively. And I'm really glad that he was paid off with a pair of goals on Saturday because he has been so good all year, and everyone justifiably wants to talk about Almiron and Martinez and Barco and Gressel, and that's all fine. But I think Kevin Kratz has been an enormously vital component of why Atlanta United has results now over the last 7 weeks.
Mike Conney joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Well, here we go. Mike, this team goes to number one in the power rankings. We'll see how they handle being the target of everybody. And we find out really in the next three games just how good they are, because two of the next three are going to be on the road, one at Chicago coming up Saturday, one on the back end of that three-game stretch at Orlando City, and in between a match at home against Sporting Kansas City. These are three of the best teams in the league that they're going to face, two of which are going to be on the road. This will give us the real judge of exactly where Atlanta United is.
It will, but again, I think Atlanta United, over the last couple of weeks, John, they're just going out and doing their thing, and an opponent I was going to use a naughty word there. Their opponents will have to adjust to what Atlanta United is doing, put it that way. I mean, I think we looked at that stretch of three games, LAFC, who, by the way, they lost last night, but up until this point, they had not lost since losing 5-0 to Atlanta United. LAFC, New York City, and LA Galaxy, we looked at that stretch of matches, thought, wow, I mean, if you can go 1-1-1 over those three, you've done well, and they go 2-0-1. Now you look at this next stretch, and you're right, Chicago's playing a lot better, got a good draw on the road at Toronto on Saturday. Kansas City lost this weekend at New England, but has been enormously strong at scoring goals and a goal difference, and they're number one in the West. And then after that, you play Orlando now, who has won a bunch of matches in a row, and suddenly they're only 3 points behind Atlanta United, third on the Eastern Conference table right now. Very, very difficult stretch of matches. I think what's happening now, most of MLS is starting to wake up. New England is playing very well. Dallas lost last night to New York City, but they're playing very well. I mentioned Chicago. They're playing well. Red Bulls have been a little inconsistent. They're still someone you need to watch. So over the next month or two, there aren't going to be a lot of easy matches for Atlanta United. That's why it was very important for them to get the 3 points on Saturday.
You know, speaking of that, you're talking about Sporting Kansas City and Orlando City, but how do you not overlook Chicago? It's Chicago Fire. They're coming in. They only got two matches. How do you go into a game and not overlook them?
Well, I first of all, I think the fact that it's on the road helps because it refines your focus a little bit. You don't have the distraction of being at home. You fly up there on Saturday or on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You play the match on Saturday. I don't know where everyone's staying and what will be done Friday night, but I know the Chicago Fire Stadium is nowhere close to anything exciting. So you just go up there and you concentrate. I think that helps. And honestly, I think Atlanta United got a little bit of a wake-up call on Saturday. That game, that had trap game written all over it. With the early start against an opponent that had lost three matches in a row, I was genuinely nervous about how that first half would unfold. And indeed, Montreal kind of caught the five stripes napping a little bit, and they got that early goal. And then they were able to bunker. It's kind of like when Georgia goes up to Vanderbilt for an 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff. You never quite know because Georgia's always the heavy favorite, but it's almost like a trap because it takes a while for the body to wake up. Well, this will be a night game, an 8:30 Eastern time game. Chicago's very good. Like I said, they just got the draw at Toronto after being 2-0 down. Nice work by them. It's a match Atlanta United on paper should win. And I think, your veterans, Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Lorenowitz and Brad Guzan, are not going to let the younger players overlook Chicago.
We are talking with Mike Hania. And to that point about the younger players, we finally got a chance to see, for the first time in the second half against Montreal, the lineup that everybody, for all the five stripes, all the 17s, have been waiting for, with Gressel and Villalba, with Miggy and Joseph and Barco, and those five on the field mm-hmm. at the same time.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be like that every week. The reason why Villalba was inserted at the end of the game in the 45th minute is Tata needed another attack-minded player. And basically what happened was Nagby kind of moved back to Lorenowitz's position, the number six, and you had Villalba on basically as an extra attacker. If they try that again going forward, I think they're going to be back in a 4-2-3-1 and Gressel would play right back. But again, like I said a moment ago, I don't expect Atlanta United to really try to change a whole lot right now. Things are working. You have results, seven matches in a row. The 3-5-2 has been excellent. So to me, just looking at it from afar, it felt like Villalba was kind of running out of gas a little bit at the end of the match on Saturday. That tells me he's not 90 minutes match fit yet. So up in Chicago this weekend, I would not be shocked if, again, it was Villalba in the 18 but not starting. And you stay with the 3-5-2 and you go with the same starting lineup you've had the last 2 weeks. That's at least how I see it from my perspective.
No, and that makes full sense. It's just, the thought of having that kind of an attack-minded team. Boy, anybody who thought, Mike, that soccer was a boring, low-scoring game you played for a draw – man of mercy.
No, not with these guys, right? And I like the fact, too, and I've heard this mentioned a couple times. I think it's a really good point. I like the fact you go up 2-1, you've got to defend for 10 more minutes, and you're going to get 3 points. And Atlanta United kept attacking. I like that. And I like the fact in L.A., you're up 1-0, final couple minutes, all you need to do is sit back and defend. You're going to get 3 points on the road. They kept attacking. They got another goal. That's a winner's mentality, in my opinion. So I like the fact they're doing it. They're playing very entertaining soccer. They continue to defend extremely well. I think that's a huge, huge storyline to the season. They didn't have to do a lot of defending on Saturday. I think Montreal only had 23-24% of the ball. But when called upon, except for the marking error on the goal by Tider, they did a good job defending again. Guzan's been strong. So everything's working right now. And they're fun to watch. And there's still time to jump on board, guys. I mean, we're now only one quarter of the way through the season, a long way to go. So there's a lot of time for people to jump on board with this thing. And Big as Hugh will tell you, if you go to a match in person and you watch it in person, you're going to get hooked.
Thanks, Mike.
You're the man, Mike. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys.
All right, Mike Connie joining us. Some of the stories we missed on a very busy Monday. We'll jump into the Wendy Zone next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Every possible way to get your content, no matter what time, what day, or what show.
Welcome to a Falcons Monday. We're at Flowery Branch.
What happened? Welcome back to the morning show, John and Hugh.
And this is not making a sexist comment, but it's when you have people that typically do not watch football.
Yep. Everything you're looking for on demand at 92.9thegame.com. The game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody, Stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
By the way, this is the week that I will be going over the edge 22 stories off a building for Special Olympics and to send Special Olympic athletes to compete in the state games. I am now halfway over my main goal of $2,000, so would love your help. Any donation amount helps. So I did retweet the link at 929 The Game. If you guys want to help, also I retweeted that video of me eating a slice of the pineapple pizza because someone said they would donate if I ate that. And for me, fruit does not belong on a pizza. And after eating the pizza, fruit still does not belong on a pizza. It is the worst combo I've ever had. Ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever? Hot pineapple's not your thing?
It just doesn't taste good together. It just doesn't go. I like pineapple separate. It just doesn't taste good on a pizza.
Yeah, pineapple and pizza sauce?
No, it just doesn't mesh with me. If you like it, great. I did try it, so now y'all can't give me grief for
what
not.
What about barbecued crickets?
You know what? Hugh said he would give me $200 if I ate the cricket, so that's $200 toward the $2,000 goal. So we're gonna do it, right?
I'm gonna check and see where these crickets are.
I don't think you're gonna do it, but I mean we're still good, but I don't think you're gonna.
We may have to put a trash can on the side, but I will do it if it involves giving money.
You have to eat the whole bag now.
To charity. How big is this bag?
I didn't get a king size bag of crickets.
Because if it's a massive bag, we're gonna have
I wouldn't do that to you. Okay. Come on now. It ain't that kind of
because party. If it's insane, then we'll have to up the stakes a little bit. But tonight is the night. It is the premiere of Dancing with the Stars. Why are we all excited about it? Because it is Dancing with the Stars.
By we, you mean you.
Yeah,
right.
We're not excited about Dancing with the Stars.
We should all be invested because it's a special athletes edition. So only athletes will be competing on this season of Dancing with the Stars. I think this is season 26, if I remember correctly. So this has been on for a while. So I handed you guys a piece of paper, and I wanted to do this sort of NFL draft style. So with the draft finishing up, I figured since this premieres tonight, we should follow it throughout the 4 weeks that it's on and do it draft style. And you guys pick two contestants, since there are 10, two that you will have in your pocket. And if you win, I don't know what we're going to give. Maybe like
crickets.
A Chick-fil-A gift card. I don't know. Let's just go with that.
So we got to start winning something so these things actually make sense.
Let's do like a $10 food gift card of the place of your choice.
Right. Let's do that.
Perfect. That works.
50, all right.
And I figure we just go in order of first name. So we'll do a snake draft, and Bo will start us off, then Daryl, Hugh, John, and then I will end it, if that works for everybody in the room.
It works for me.
All right, perfect. So Bo, start us off. Who are you taking with the first overall selection in the Dancing with the Stars draft?
I'm going with a personal favorite of mine, Jenny Finch. I'm not saying her last name because she's still single to me.
She is the Olympic softball pitcher. Okay. All right, D, who are you going with?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Ain't bad. 71 years old competing on the show.
And 7'2".
Skyhook, though.
Yes. All right, John. I mean, you.
Tanya
first.
Harding.
Damn.
Because she's a train wreck.
Damn. I wanted Tanya. Damn. I wanted that because I wanted to guess she is a train wreck. That was my pick. Ah, rats.
We had to pick train wrecks. You want to pick the winner.
No, you want to pick the train wreck.
Okay. Each their own.
I don't care. You pick for me.
Just pick a name, John. It's not that serious.
All right, fine. Josh Dorman.
Actually, that's not a bad pick because the NFL players tend to do really well on this show. Antonio Brown went really far.
That's true.
Jerry Rice.
I wasn't thinking of those
Jerry
terms.
Jerry Rice was the runner-up. Heinz Ward.
I was thinking second biggest trade wreck.
Heinz Ward and Aaron Donald both won the competition when they
congrats to them.
So that's not a bad pick at all. I am going to go with Olympic figure skater Adam Rippon. And then since we're doing it snake style, I will take Jamie Anderson, the Olympic snowboarder, who I know nothing about, but gonna go with it. So, John, you have the next one.
Yeah, I don't know anything about. I didn't pay much attention. What's Nagasu Mirai?
She just competed in the Olympics.
Olympics, okay.
Is that who you're gonna pick?
Yeah, I'll take her.
All right, Mirai Nagasu. All right, Hugh?
Johnny Damon.
All right, D?
The college basketball player whose name I cannot pronounce.
Arike
Ogunbowale. She's the one who hit that game winner, that national championship. Yeah,
I remember that, but I don't know. I couldn't say the name.
Right. And back-to-back, right, mm-hmm. for Notre Dame. Right.
That's
She's pretty clutch, Daryl, so that's a good selection.
Well, Bo, you want to give your last selection?
Yeah, I'm going to take Chris Mazdezer, the Olympic luger.
He was the first one, I think, to win a medal for the United States in luge, and it happened this past year at the Olympic Games.
So, by the way, if he was on this, if he walked in the studio right now, I would have no clue who he is.
Neither would I. But if he makes it to the finals, you know, if he makes it past the first round, it's probably all downhill from there.
Oh, but ching, there's the favorite ketchup. He was actually pretty attractive. So,
Would that be the second corniest thing John's done today, along with his poll
along
question?
With the poll. So there's actually like three jokes that John is.
I tried to let it go, John.
But no, he was decent looking. So a lot of women are paying attention to
that's
the
luge. That's why you watch it, huh?
To the luge during
We should
Olympics.
give a $10 gift card to the winner and a $25 gift card to the first person out.
Are you hawking up the money for that 25, John? You're just taking the money
since
out
you
of
put
my
it out.
I tell you what, I'll give it out of my pocket another $10 gift card if the first person out is not one of my people.
Well, dang
okay?
it, man! I would have picked a loser.
I'll give another $10 gift card. Any of the four of you have the first person gone, which means I think Daryl's going to get it because
I'm going to get that card.
Kareem's going to be the first out.
You might be on that one, Daryl. So congratulations on your $25.
And I actually hope that Tanya wins.
She's not going to win, John. But that's really. Okay, so this is something I tried this morning, and it's not a sports-related story, but do not do this at work. Do it if you have, like, a lunch break or if you are in your car. Because
okay, where are we going with
this? You know people have found plenty of weird glitches when it comes to Siri over the years and your iPhone, and this is one of the more unexpected ones, and I tried it this morning, and it definitely works. So you know how Apple is sort of against anything like filthy language? Well, a guy on Reddit just found that you can get Siri to drop a surprise F-bomb with one very innocent request. Now, don't do it in here because I don't want it going over the air. He said he found out that if you ask Siri to define the word mother, she'll tell you the basic dictionary definition, which is true, and then ask her if you want to hear another definition. All you have to do is say yes, and then you are met with a surprise. So, like I said, do not test this when you are at work.
Don't do that, Hugh Douglas.
Don't do it in here because it's going to go over the
why are you looking at me?
Because you're the one that picked up your phone. Do not do that.
I was going to turn my mic off before I did.
Don't do it. Everybody else's mic is on.
Okay,
no, it's really loud. It's loud.
Because there's this whole subculture of sub Siri, right? I mean, what's the one with the song with Bohemian Rhapsody where you start it and Siri finishes it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, all you say is Galileo, and then Siri finishes it, and she starts doing the song, right?
Well, try that one, Hugh Douglas.
Galileo.
I'm not going to try anything
Figaro.
Because
yes,
it might
do
go
anything
bad.
Scary. Yeah, don't do
and then I don't feel like I don't feel like getting called into the office.
Well, I don't feel losing my job either. But if you guys have a lunch break or you are in your car on the way home, simply ask Siri to define the word mother, and she'll give you the regular definition, and then ask her, yes, you want her to hear another definition, just say yes. You're welcome.
How do people find out this? I mean,
I'm about to do it in the break.
People try everything.
Apparently they do. All right, Rick and John, we'll try that. Top of the hour. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.